What's up, iRaiders? Welcome to episode 7 of iRations, The Uplifter. My name is Drake Peterson, and for those of you who are joining us for the first time, this is our weekly live stream. We are here live on YouTube every Friday at 3:20 Pacific time to raise your spirits, answer some questions, talk music, talk shop, and of course, talk all things iRation. We are going to be changing things up a little bit this week. Since Coastin, the new album, is going to be coming out very soon, we're going to have a nice little discussion and share some information about the upcoming release. We also hope to share some teasers, behind the scenes, and videos in the next few weeks. But for now, we're going to have a nice little discussion on Coastin. Before we get to that, though, just reminding you that our new single, Right Here, Right Now, is available for purchase and streaming. The song features Eric Rachmani from Revolution and Scott Woodruff of Stick Figure. In addition, the 7th studio album, which is out on July 10th, is available for pre-order or pre-save. You can check that out on irationmusic.com, or if you want, you can go on iTunes or Spotify and take care of all of that. Also, our Coastin official album bundles are live on our online store. These are great. You can get a bunch of great little items like a nice little limited edition color vinyl, Coastin CD, a signed kick drum, something that Joe would use, a pair of signed drumsticks, 4-pack of guitar picks, and there's just a whole bunch of great stuff. So if you go on to irationmusic.com, you can check all of that stuff out. And in addition, we are going to try to help our crew out. So if you purchase an honorary crew tee, something that you'd see our crew members wearing at a show, so maybe you can try to sneak into a show with this. You wear this shirt. No, don't do that. If you buy this shirt, you will get the Coastin album digital download. So buy the t-shirt, get the album, help out the crew during these very, very hard times. And now, instead of doing stories this week, we are going to do a deep dive into the newest album, Coastin. But first, how's everybody doing today?
Doing great. Thank you, Drake.
Doing fabulous. Thanks, Drake.
Very good. Thank you, Drake.
Excellent.
Hey, I also wanted to add, Drake, what I think is going to be really cool is when we start playing shows, for those of you that do get the honorary crew shirt, if we see you at a concert wearing that shirt, we're going to know in the hour of need, if you're sporting that shirt, that you are the ultra fan that was there for us and for our crew, and that'll be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about Coastin right now. I'm going to start off with this question. What does Coastin mean to you? Let's start this off with MB.
Coastin to me, the word and the, I guess the literal translation of it is kind of like cruising, you know? And I think it's just, I like the word Coastin better. And I think cruising's a little bit overused, but it's the same vibe, same mentality. It's kind of like that feel good, laid back, approach to any situation, you know? Also kind of just, kind of a positive uplifting connotation as well. And I think that translates into the music as well. I think it's a perfect one word to describe the music. It's pretty close as you could get. And I've, you know, that's kind of personally always been my mentality and approach to most situations. So it really resonates true with me as far as the overall vibe.
Was it a pretty easy choice to make this the title track? Poosh, you want to talk about that?
No, I think it was, you know, it was definitely a discussion. I think we, you know, we kind of had some thoughts here and there about what it made sense. I know that, you know, in general, that in past albums, we've used song titles as the titles of the albums. And obviously the last one was a self-titled album just because, you know, we didn't necessarily feel like one song or one phrase or word summed up the feeling of the entire album. I think in this case, Coastin did. I think it's the album is very much a journey, musical journey. It kind of goes from different genres and different feels. And I think the imagery that we kind of felt made sense with this record was like, you know, you put on the record and then you start driving in like a you know, convertible Cadillac down the coast going like 45 miles an hour and just enjoying the ride and seeing all the, you know, the sights as opposed to just, you know, getting in a Ferrari and going like 180 miles an hour on the five freeway. So I think it goes hand in hand with the kind of vibe of the whole album. I think that's what made sense at the end of it is Coastin is kind of sets the tone and kind of goes along with the musical journey that the album is.
I'd say it's definitely a treat to be listening it from start to finish. It's definitely a great experience. And with that being said, what is everyone's favorite part of the album or favorite even song? What's everyone's favorite song from the album? Kason, you want to start us off?
Sure. For me, I really like Right Here, Right Now, which is obviously the single that we just released. I tend to like the more reggae forward sounding songs just because having grown up in Hawaii and listening to the radio over here, it's kind of just been my favorite style of music growing up. And whenever we make songs like that, it's kind of feels natural for me. And I know it probably feels, you know, a little more natural for Joe and Adam because they are kind of on that same tip. But yeah, as far as other songs go that are kind of leaning in that direction, I'd say Daylight Saving is one of them. Yeah, probably Daylight Saving and Right Here, Right Now are my top two. And then Contact High would probably be next favorite after that to play and to record.
Jojo, what about you?
Let's see. I mean, for me, I'd have to say I agree with Kason, a little more of the reggae forward kind of songs. Guava Lane for me, I love. It was fun tracking it. It's fun listening to it. I like it a lot. Also, Contact High. I love that song. It's different for us, and I like different. Different's good.
Adam?
I think my favorite is Move Forward, and I just really like the way the song came out and kind of in a little bit of a different fashion from how we did writing for other albums where, you know, it might be more Micah heavy doing the writing, like especially on Move Forward, I think it was more of a collaborative group effort. And some of the lyrics of that song, I kind of know that, hey, I had that input or like, you know, certain parts. So I guess I feel a little bit more connected with that song. And it's kind of a good blend between a reggae forward and something, some kind of other genre, but it's just, that's definitely my favorite song. It's unique and it's very Irishian and it's got a very anthemic feel to it.
Push, what would you say the most meaningful or favorite song on off Coastin is for you?
Well, I like all the songs, obviously. I do think that, yeah, the collaborative nature of this album was definitely what makes it kind of different and, you know, gave it a different feel from the writing process all the way through. It's easy for me, the most meaningful song is going to always be Learn From Me, just because it's a song that I wrote about my daughter. So that's always going to have a special kind of place in my heart, just as a song meaning. But there's another song on the record called Smile that is about two of our friends that we lost over the years, our friend Annie and our friend Kyle. And it's a song that is about real people and real events and real things that happen. And I know the tendency for Iration songs is to be love songs or songs that are, you know, expressly about more uplifting things. But it is a song, I think, that finds, you know, an uplifting kind of vibe, even in something that is a sad event and something that most people go through in their lives, which is loss. And I think it's just about, and in general, I think Iration songs, without being expressly happy, are songs about finding the positive in events that maybe, you know, feel negative at first. You know, even breakups you know, people passing away, loss, those types of things. I think it's about finding the positive in everything. And so it's just those two songs for me, I think, were hold kind of a special place for me.
Micah Brown, what about you?
I really like Smile as well. And to kind of pick up on where Pooch left off, I think the cool thing about it is, like he said, you know, it's about loss and it's about kind of something that's not an uplifting subject, but, and it's not a song that you would expect anybody who's just experienced this loss to really like connect with. But I think over time, as time heals all wounds, you know, I think it's a song that maybe a while down the road after someone has experienced this, they're going to hear this song and it's really going to make them happy thinking about that person. Cause it is a kind of like the audio qualities of the song are very kind of nostalgic and melancholic, but in like a really, somewhat, there's like a silver lining on it. You know, it's, there's a cheerful element to the music, even though it is like minor chords. And I think it's just a nice juxtaposition. You know, I always like songs that kind of are almost like a playing back and forth between those two different things. Like it's either uplifting sounding and it's touching on really deep subjects, or it's really happy lyrics but it kind of sounds sad. Those are always kind of interesting songs to me, and I do think Smile kind of touches on that. And it's definitely an outlier on the album, but and it's kind of one of those last ones that we wrote. I feel like we had a pretty solid track listing, and then one of the last writing sessions we all had, that one kind of just organically came out together and ended up coming out really strong. And I think it's sets, you know, I think that's kind of what is cool about this album, is it's just going to be different in a lot of ways. And that certain song checks a certain box that wasn't there before we wrote it and kind of enriches the whole track listing. I also really like Move Forward. I like the sonic elements, you know, there's some cool acoustic finger picky vibes, but there's also really drippy, wet, reverby vibes and just like kind of a slow driving iration sound akin to like a summer nights kind of vibe, but a really positive, uplifting message. Those two are definitely, and those are later on in the track listing. So I really think this album from top to bottom is pretty strong. Just depending on what mood you're looking for or what vibe you're trying to set, there's definitely a song for that somewhere in this album. So it's cool.
I want to touch base on the writing and recording process. My favorite thing that I got to experience in this whole process was the Learn From Me, that particular track. Watching both of the Micahs record that together live was amazing, because it was super stripped down, and like every single take just got better and better and better, and it was an amazing process. What about everyone else's? What was everyone's favorite part of the writing and recording process? Kason, you want to start?
Sure. For me, I liked how much pre-production went into this record. We spent a lot of time just getting together and working on songwriting and working on demos and just really being able to kind of get nitpicky without worrying about, oh, we're on the clock in the studio, you know, because we were just kind of taking it as like, okay, we're going to spend this time doing pre-production. We're not going to rent out the big studio with all the crazy instruments. We're just going to really work on the songs before we actually get into the studio and start tracking stuff. So I think it allowed the songs time to develop as we were writing them. And it helps to have, you know, a few days in between, you know, an 8-hour songwriting session where you're just deep diving into a song. And then you have a couple days to sit with it. And then you come back in and you go, okay, what we thought sounded good actually was terrible. So let's rewrite that part and work on this part. And I think it really helped out with the final product, because when we went into the actual studio, we were a lot more prepared. Everyone had their parts all worked out, as well as a lot of strong stuff from the demos that we were able to use in the actual record. So yeah, for me, I just liked the amount of pre-production that went into this.
Adam, what about you?
I really like just kind of the, with the whole process, like in the very beginning, you know, when you're just building a song, like, you know, when we'd be in the small room upstairs of Santa Barbara Sound Design, and it's just a MIDI keyboard and maybe Joe's playing, figuring out a drum beat on it. And then, you know, I'll try and lay a bass line and kind of building a song that way. And then maybe the following week we'll all be in a room trying to hash out some lyrics. And, you know, sometimes it will come really quickly. And I guess for me, that was kind of a first time I've really been involved in that process. And now I kind of have a greater appreciation and understanding of how kind of difficult that element of songwriting is. And also just, you know, there were times when we'd be in like a 3 or 4 hour kind of writer's block, and now getting to see the finished product and just really having a finished work that you can be very proud of and say that you've been a part of all of it, rather than just, you know, okay, I did the bass on this song or something, you know, something like that.
What about you, MB?
I agree with Adam. I think it was a cool collaborative effort across the board, you know, it wasn't just everybody sticking with their duties or like what they do. Everybody had input, you know. We definitely threw a lot of ideas against the wall, and we wouldn't settle for something that not everybody was fully on board with, you know, like whether it was a melody for a hook. You know, I know right here, right now, like even before we wrote that hook, we had like two other kind of rough ideas of what the melody or the concept of the song was going to be, and we just never settled until we all felt like it was right. And so I think it was cool just having the time and having the camaraderie between everybody sitting around in a room, almost like a round table kind of vibe on a lot of these songs, and just making sure everybody dug what we were coming up with, or if someone had an opinion, everybody's voice was heard. And, you know, there was not a lot of times where people were super adamant, like against each other on anything. I think things kind of naturally fell into place the way they were supposed to be. And, you know, I think just also having such a focus, you know, there was other good songs we wrote during these sessions that maybe we'll continue to work on after this, but it was like, if they didn't fit this project, then they, you know, it doesn't mean they were a bad song or that we're not going to finish them. But I think we just had a good focus on what we wanted this album to be sonically, tonally. I think we, finding all the tones that we found, like the acoustics sound really good, all the guitars, all the keys and the synths, drums and bass have that classic, there's just kind of a classic sound to every song. And I think sometimes that's nice, not letting yourself stray too far from a focus in a lot of ways makes the final product that much more zeroed in on something that you wanted it to be, and comes out the way you were setting out for it to be. So I think in general, that was kind of a win for us on this one and across the board.
Micah Poosh, what song off Coastin' was your favorite to write or record?
Well, I think as far as the writing process goes, it's hard to pick one. I think they're all pretty fun to write. I think obviously some of them came a lot smoother than others. I think sometimes, as you know, when writing songs, sometimes it's like pulling teeth, getting a song from start to finish. Sometimes it's a bridge or a pre-chorus or a certain lyrical piece that becomes problematic, and it ends up holding the whole song up for a long time. Some of them go really fast, and I think a song like Move Forward went pretty smoothly. I think Contact High went pretty smoothly. Coastin' was a smooth one. I think those songs in general, even Guava Lane, I think was a pretty smooth you know, smooth move, I should say. But as far as the tracking goes, I think probably one of the most fun days was just going, when we did the tracking session down in LA with the strings, doing Fancy, If You Only Knew, and all those kind of string parts. Just being there and watching those, you know, the ladies that did the strings kind of cut their parts. I thought that was a really cool moment, just kind of seeing those parts come to life, what they added to the songs. Outside of that, we did have a day with Junior from Common Kings at East West where he cut his vocals, and just watching somebody that is that level of vocalist was very, very, very impressive. Like, we were all just like blown away at how talented he is and his range and, you know, just the things that you can do with a vocalist of that caliber. You know, I wasn't jealous, but I was like, you know, just blown away at how versatile he is. And he could do anything. I mean, he could sing any song you'd ever want him to sing. He can hit any, you know, go from low range to, you know, Mariah Carey high. It's like at full voice. So it was an impressive day just watching him kind of cut in the studio and being able to kind of like co-produce his vocal on If You Only Knew.
What about you, JoJo?
Just to kind of go off of what Poosh and MB were kind of saying. Yeah, but the whole process, it was very organic and, you know, start from scratch kind of thing. And we wouldn't settle for anything. There was a saying, we'd get into the studio and it would be, can we beat it? And if we can beat it, it's going to get beat 9 times out of 10. Something that already sounds good, we're going to try and make it better, whether it's a hook or a melody. Can always do better. And we'd spend hours just trying to make one little part better than the last idea. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, the whole process was really fun and it was equally enjoyable as it was challenging. Just challenging yourself to think outside the box. Like, I'm not a songwriter. So just trying to think about lyrics and maybe certain melodies for things here and there was really fun.
I want to go into the personnel of the album, like all the people behind the scenes that you guys used, whether it's mixing engineers, producers, how did you guys pick all these people that you hired or collaborated with? Adam?
Some of the artists, I think, were, you know, guys like Scott and Eric and Junior. We'd toured recently with Common Kings, so I think that's how the friendship with Junior and them came about. Scott and Eric are also kind of two artists that are kind of the top of the game in the genre, so they were really cool to work with. David, we've been working with since Hotting Up album, so we already were familiar with his capabilities and what he could do. And I think in the very beginning with David, he was so like hip hop based for me. I remember being very wary of his talents, how they would kind of cross over to our sound. And then I remember when we were doing a song like 867, at first I was like, oh my God, this is so different from what Iration has ever been. But then seeing how he could make a song like Reelin' or something really pop out and stand out, then going into the self-titled album and then into Coastin', you know, I've completely have so much faith in him as a producer. And he's really, I think, brings out the best in all of us. I've also got to shout out all the Grubhub delivery drivers that always pop in and deliver that fire, you know?
Or try to deliver.
Except for that one in LA that Drake was at, where it took like 6.5 hours.
That was that poor old man, dude.
I showed up at that session like halfway through and I was like, dang it, I probably missed lunch. And then I get there and I still had to wait 3 hours for the food to show up that I didn't even think I was expected to eat. So,
well, how did, here's a question. How did like the string players, how were they chosen?
So those are just some girls that I've worked with that are, they're some of the top studio string players in Los Angeles. So it was definitely, an easy pick finding them. I would have loved to get like, you know, 60 of them, but you know, it's much easier to just do a few It's cheaper. And we just kind of layered it up. But Lacey, one of the string players, is one of my good friends from college. And so she's a big string player in town. So I was able to meet a whole bunch of other string players throughout my years here. And they definitely sound great on the album. What about like art? Who did the album art, and how did you guys find the artist?
So we found him on Instagram. His name is Made by Motel, at Made by Motel. And this guy named Stan, I think he's up in the Toronto area, but I think Xavier or somebody found his artwork. He was doing kind of throwback versions of old classic vinyl albums. He was doing like hip hop albums and kind of recreating them with his own, using his own art and doing his own versions of those. And we saw them and we're like, these are really cool. So we contacted him and, you know, he was open to doing it. And obviously, you know, he did a great job. I think we did kind of go through some kind of a journey with the art, and it kind of went from different places, changed a little bit from here and there, but I think we all ended up with something that we're all very happy with that looks very clean and it fits totally with the vibe of the album. Goes along with the musical aspect. So I think in general with album art, you kind of want the visuals to work alongside the audio. And I think in this case it does.
Poosh, can we talk a little bit about who mixed this album? Was it one guy? Was it 10 people?
Yeah, so I think when we recorded the album, I think we all understood that they're in normal iration fashion. There are, you know, multiple styles on the record, although sonically they do fit together. I think that we did end up having songs that tilted certain ways. Some songs tilted more towards reggae, some songs tilted more towards kind of R&B, Motown-y, even soul music. Some tilted more towards a more straightforward rock or acoustic sound. So we wanted to really, and some were even more on the kind of more alt rock, electronic side, you know, with the program drums and things like that. So I think we wanted to really employ people that had specific, you know, styles that would work along with the songs and maximize the potential of the song. So song like, we worked with a guy named Mark Needham, who we've worked with on a lot of other of the last two projects that we've done. And he's a really, really strong mixing engineer. He did a large majority of the songs on the record. He did Coastin', Daylight Saving. He did Move Forward, I believe. And yeah, he just always generally does a really great job. I think we worked with a guy named Lars Stalforce on our song Contact High. He's a guy that's mixed for like Foster the People and some other bands. And I think that was a song that Jody kind of had this program drum beat idea that's like a backbeat type of thing. We called it Linear Beat at first. And so he made sense for that one. We worked with Nico and Rob, who are kind of top guys who are mixing reggae albums. They've done like Revolution. They did the last Through the Roots album. They're really strong at mixing reggae. So they did the more reggae-leaning songs like Guava Lane and Right Here, Right Now in Zen Island, I believe. And then we worked with a guy named Jimmy Douglas, who is from his mix, anyone from like, you know, Justin Timberlake to Aretha Franklin to, you know, done a lot of work with Timbaland, the producer. So we did him for the more Motown soul, R&B leaning songs, Home Tonight, Fancy, If You Only Knew. And then we had Will Briere, who's been our studio engineer for the last three albums, mixed Learn From Me. And he did some mixing on the last record as well. So yeah, I mean, we really tailored, and Chill Out was mixed by our friend Claudio, who is another guy that's mixed songs with us on the last record. So we had a lot of different mixing engineers. Obviously, you know, it's difficult. It was difficult because COVID hit right at the kind of back end of the mixing process. So it was like, they're all in different states or in different cities, and some get to their studios. So it kind of put a little wrinkle into the whole process, but eventually we got it all done and we're really happy with the product that we got from them.
Yeah, and I think to extrapolate on Will too, I think beyond his duties as engineer, and also he mixed the track. I think he was such a pleasure to work with in general, just because he's so fast, so efficient, always kind of a positive attitude, unless he has cilantro on his takeout. Or bread and butter pickles, mangoes. There's certain things that really set him off, but if he's got a good lunch in his belly and he's happy, like, he's such a pleasure to work with and made the tracking process so much smoother than it could have been. And he's, yeah, like he was saying, he's been on the team with us since Hot Enough days, and shout out Will. Awesome guy.
Excellent. Well, now we're going to get to a couple fan questions. If you are interested in submitting a question, you can call or text our phone number at 805-225-6886. The first question today is, what is the first thing you will do when the shelter in place is over? And this is from mitch.s.1993 on Instagram. Adam, you want to start this one off?
First thing I'll do, I think, is go and sit down at Arigato, one of my favorite sushi restaurants in Santa Barbara, and have a nice sushi dinner.
Lovely. That place is fire. Joe?
First thing I'm going to do is stay at home. Do what I normally do.
Build outdoor showers.
Yeah. Same stuff.
MB?
Yeah, I think it'll probably just be a nice meal out, like drinks, meet with the friends. You know, Marina and I definitely have a cool little small circle of, people that we socialize with on a regular basis, and just being able to have a nice meal and order some drinks like the old days, pre-COVID days. I think that's probably what most people are going to want to do. But, you know, because especially in Orange County, it doesn't feel like a shelter in place. Really, there's so many people that are still out and about. I mean, obviously, we're doing what we can to just stay at home when we can. We're running essential errands and things like that. And there's a few people that we have seen since back in March, you know, a couple times here and there. We've kept our circle very small. But, you know, I think just being able to go out and have a nice meal at a restaurant and do those things you used to take for granted. I don't know specifically where we'd eat, but.
Kason?
Yeah, I'd probably hop on a flight and return back to California, because I came over here about 3.5 months ago, rather unprepared, not knowing how long I would be staying. And I'm getting the itch to get back to Santa Barbara and get back to my stock of surfboards that I have there.
And maybe new shirts.
As well as some new t-shirts, some music equipment. Yeah, it's pretty sparse.
Also, there's a chance he left the oven on, so we got to check in on that.
Yeah, all my plants are dead, that's for sure.
Boxer supply running a little low, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know it, friend.
What about you, Poosh?
I'm kind of in the same boat with the rest of the guys. Like, when we're off the road, I don't really do a whole lot of, I'd say golf, but I think the golf courses are open and I can't really leave the house for like 5 hours anyway, as it is right now. So I'd say, probably like my number one thing would be hopefully be able to travel, to Hawaii. I'd be going the opposite way of Kason, just to visit my family and see my mom and my dad and, so they could meet their granddaughter for the first time, because right now, basically the only person she's met has been like Chloe's like very immediate family, her sister, mom, and then her kind of best friends. And even then, it's like we're meeting them through the like screen door of our backyard, or you know we're with a distancing. So I think once hopefully that happens, we can make a trip back to Hawaii and just get to see my family.
If you have any questions that you want to get read on the air, hit us up at 805-225-6886. That is it for us today on The Uplifter. We will see you next week. And remember, when the news gets you down, you can always tune into The Uplifter. Never take this from me. Allow the
watching race cars move away. I just don't think that I can lose, and I might just take a cruise and let the sunshine play. Something more, something new, something you get attracted to. That light that shines on water.